Give it up for Monday. Clap your hands on Monday. Let's dance, it's Monday. It's a happy Monday. The first day of the week.
It's Monday!
Aww. I thought it was saying the best day of the week. It's actually they're saying the first day of the week. Yes, it's the first day of many, many and many more in shutdown mode. It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today. And we just have to keep thinking about the future and moving forward. And whatever we've lost, we're going to work harder to get it back. So I always love checking in with Greg Hughes, who is the founder and CEO of Hughes Private Capital, a real estate investment company here in Reno. And boy, I tell you, he's going to be helping us get what we've lost back. I tell you, thanks for being here, Greg.
Glad to be here on this. I thought it was like the best Monday too that it used to say there, but I guess not, huh?
So much for Fabulous Friday. I guess it's the fifth day of the week. I don't know. Hey, yeah. Greg, let's talk about smart debt and dumb debt today, because there are a lot of people out there who think they're doing it right, but they're really not. So what's the difference between smart and dumb debt?
Well, let's start with the dumb debt side, right? I kind of like that, dumb debt, you know? Well, dumb debt is when you use debt to pay for toys like boats and dirt bikes and cars and motorhomes, et cetera. Items that depreciate over time that don't make you any money. In fact, they only cost you money every month. And even worse than those items are when you use debt to buy consumables, things that would be used up and completely gone, like a vacation, with no remaining dollar value whatsoever, you know, other than maybe some good memories.
Yeah, those memories. Okay, so I get it. Most of the things that I have purchased over my life have been dumb debt. So those aren't good things, though, to take out a line of credit on, is what you're saying, because I do dream of having a fifth wheel. So what is smart debt?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad to buy any of those. You just don't want to use the debt for it, right? You don't want to take that out. So you want to use debt the smart way, and you want to use it to buy appreciating assets, assets like real estate that, if done properly, will not only pay that monthly debt payment for you, but you'll make your money month after month through a cash flow that's coming through on that, you know? So getting financing on real estate or something that appreciates and provides cash flow is not only smart, but it makes you a better return overall because, you know, you're using leverage on it. So let me just give you a really quick example. You know, if you take first of all, when you're using leverage, it takes you less money to do it. And let's say that you were able to get your financing for 4% interest and you're able to buy real estate that makes 8% without any financing. So once you add that leverage in there, that financing, you can sometimes double your return up to, like, say, 16% because you're using the financing. And that's what we call really smart debt.
That actually makes sense to really smart debt. So let me ask you this, though. Is this a good time to be getting financing on real estate with everything that's going on?
Yeah, really, it probably couldn't be a better time with the interest rates that are an all-time low. But you, again, have to make sure that the real estate you're buying is structured correctly and that it puts you in a financially strong position, even with, you know, almost the inevitable recession that we're going to probably deal with here. So you just never want to get yourself to a place where the debt is your enemy. Position yourself so you're always going to make it your friend. That's the easy way to think about it.
All right. And you should make him your friend, too. All you have to do is call 234-4001 or log on to HughesCapital.com. Thank you for the good and bad and smart and dumb education today, Greg. That was awesome.
You're welcome. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to have to go have a talk with my husband now on some of that dumb debt that I keep racking up. Vance, hang on the line because I want to get you on, but I want to read this little blurb here first before we talk to you, because you were at Saturday's rally. This is how you get frustrated with the media. And James DeHaven was at the rally on Saturday. He is a writer for the RGJ. He's a political writer. And he was so nice when he came up and, you know, wasn't being confrontational. So I thought that's great. And I was reading through the RGJ article. This is the first thing I've seen on the stories being put out. I keep hearing, but I don't really care about him, so I don't go watch or listen to him. It just, you never get what's going on right. James, I had high hopes. I got to tell you, I read your article. It was very fair. It was well constructed. But when, again, earlier I was talking about getting down to the end of the article. So at the end of this article, it says, event organizers have also started an online petition encouraging Sisolak to immediately ease last month's statewide shutdown of schools, casinos, and other non-essential businesses. Fewer than 1,200 had signed on the effort as of Saturday afternoon. Okay, that has really nothing to do with the rally that we had on Saturday. That was the recall rally. And for recall signatures, I mean, you need to make this stuff clear for people because it is confusing. The recall rally, the recall side of it, as of March 31st, we have over 15,000 signatures. And we have well more than that now since Sisolak has been doing all this that he can to shut us down. You can't sign the Recall Sisolak petition online. You cannot do it. There is a group out there doing it that way. That is not the real petition. The only way that you can download the real petition, because if you take responsibility for it, you have to have it notarized. So if you have a group of people that you would like to share it with and take responsibility for their signatures that you're doing it right, you can do that at fightfornevada.com. But don't be confused. All right? You cannot sign a recall petition online. You can download the petition and take responsibility for it yourself, have it notarized, and be a part of the change to make Nevada better, but you have to do it right. Fightfornevada.com. And there are locations that you can just drive through and sign it all over Washoe County, all over Northern Nevada, all over Southern Nevada. But you have to go to the site to find the signing locations. Do it, please. Don't rely on your media to let you know what's going on. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Vance this morning. So, Vance, what did you think of the rally on Saturday?
Well, those are the people that got the word. Those are the people that had the ambition. And by all rights, we should be having at least half of the people who had or may still have jobs in the downtown area. That would be a crowd. That would get somebody's attention.
And that was wonderful because a lot of the people at the rally, they had jobs. They were supporting those who don't.
And I don't, and I am supporting those who do. I am retired. Okay. So, and that kind of coincided with Vicky starting to get really sick here about 2 years ago, about June of 2017. So anyways, suggestion for the ranchers, Chad, if you're still working or still listening, here's an idea. mobile butchers. They are out there. Okay? Get with the other ranchers. See what you can do about getting facilities to have your beef butchered, have your beef cold stored, and then market it yourselves, or try to get somebody to help you market it. Okay? People don't know about the mobile butcher business. There are videos, again, there are videos on YouTube.
Again, Vance, it goes back to buy American. Buy American beef. Support your local ranchers. Support your local restaurants who use local beef. And pay attention to that advertising. You know, that if somebody is putting that word out there that we support, you know, local farmers, local ranchers, this is where you're going to find their product. Because let me tell you, as somebody who has not only had a cow before, but who has purchased a cow, it is so much better. It's more tender. It's more flavorful. It's better for you. It's not pumped up on a lot of hormones and stuff like that. And you will thank yourself, and you will, you know what, you'll be saying it was worth the extra cost because you get what you pay for. Vance, did you have one more thing real quick? Because I got to go.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking. If it comes to it, I'll try to find one of the local ranches and buy a steer. And there's a difference between a cow and a steer. A cow is a female.
Yeah, sorry about that. Steer. Yeah, I was trying to make like a joke. Had a cow. You don't say had a steer, man.
So anyways, yeah, that's what I'm looking at doing, possibly.
You take me so literally. Vance, thank you so much for your call. And if you find any of those mobile butchers, you know, have them call in. Let's start getting these people some advertising and getting them on the air. That we need to take care of ourselves, not letting the government take care of us, dictating who we buy our food from. I've always wondered about that. Why are we importing the same things that we export? It's the Monica Jay Show. Log on to our website at 991fmtalk.com. With what's going on in the world right now, do you think that there will be food shortages this year and next? Be honest. What do you think? I want to hear from you. Yesterday's poll question, or Friday's poll question, the days just kind of all run in together now. Friday's poll question, which ID card do you think is more important? 86% said voter ID card. 14% NRA and GOA card. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Said a COVID-19 card. We'll be back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM News and Talk of Nevada.
It gives me great honor to introduce
The Monica Jay Show.
A patriot of the first order.
On FM Talk 99.1.
KKFT
92.3 FM Talk.
Your opinions and I got mine.
And you are welcome to share them on the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. And let's do some more, Sharon. Let's talk about COVID-19 with Derek this morning. Hi, Derek. Thanks for calling the show this morning.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. This seems like what this is a training exercise to train us all to just shut up, get in our cage, and eat the bugs, and don't question. And
you know, Derek, I love it that you put that way, because I had mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, that what does a terrorist do? They do like a small act to see what response is going to be. And I feel like that's what we're going through right now, that this has been set out, and the UN, by the way, is just watching to see how everybody reacts, who protests, who rallies, who is nonconformist, and stuff like that.
Yep. Uh-huh. That's it. And the root of the problem, we got to attack the root of the problem, not just hack at the branches. In my mind, the root of the problem is the Federal Reserve System.
Yeah.
We got to bring that, get rid of that, get back to an honest money system.
Yeah, if you thought the Rothschilds or, you know, those big wigs from the 1900s, they had your best interest at heart, that interest, not the way it works.
The corporation of Washington, D.C., that legislative democracy called the United States, is actually it's a corporation, and they have declared the American people as the enemy. I urge people just stop filing and paying this federal income tax. That's the only nonviolent way I think that we can do it.
Yeah, because we're paying for all of this to happen against us.
We're paying for our own enslavement.
Yeah. Derek, thank you so much for the call. And I just hope more people start to wake up to that. I mean, this is at least a break for you. Turn off, like I said in my post on Facebook, turn off the blame stream media, because they're just pointing fingers. We know where the virus originated at. We know where it came from. We know the lab. Like Pelosi said, they put out misinformation so the media will take it, run with it, and then they can say, see, the media said, all against you. What about Italy and France and all those people coming? That's because the people in China flew to those countries and then flew here after Trump shut everything down. And it just, go back and listen to what the Democrats said and were doing in January and February, trying to impeach a duly elected president. And once again, it failed. Yeah, he's impeached, but, you know, these people just drive me crazy. But the people who drive me even more crazy are the people that keep electing them. Jeez. So that brings to mind, what do you do? Hey, Sarah Schmitz is running for the Incline Village General Improvement District. She's going to be on with us in the next half hour. But I wanted to give you something that's going on in Carson City. All right. This is important for you to know and get out there. The Carson City Republicans. And I have to let the whole Zoom thing go, because it's just, there's no winning against Zoom for me. Too many people are in it and getting their message out that way.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 yeah, zoom in my room. This light sucks.
Boom, boom. Carson City Republicans are having their virtual candidates forum. Yes, the virtual candidates forum. It starts today. It is every night on Zoom, and it starts at 6 p.m. Okay? So tonight, very, very, very important, because at 6 o'clock, they're kicking all this off with P.K. O'Neill for Assembly District 40. You need to talk to P.K. about why he supported the commerce tax when his constituents did not, and he still supports it. So let that be your first question. He was out, now he wants to get back in. 6 o'clock tonight, P.K. O'Neill. 7 o'clock tonight, Ron Bratch, Ward 4 supervisor. 8 o'clock, Joe, I am so sorry. Casapro, that's just Joe. Joe C. Big Joe, I know. He's running for School District 7, and the school district is so important. School district superintendents and trustees, these are the people that are literally chosen to figure out how your kids are going to be educated. 8 o'clock for Joe tonight. Tomorrow, it's going to be Day Williams, who's taking on P.K. O'Neill, Assembly District 40, 6 p.m. Lori Bagwell, who's running for mayor, she's going to be on Tuesday. All right, and then we're going to have somebody else running for mayor, Nathaniel Kilgore. He's going to be on Wednesday. So get the schedule and check it out. All you have to do is contact the Republican, you can email the Carson City Republican Committee if you have any questions, or you can call Scott Hone, and we'll throw his information up on the website as well. Log on to their website. CarsonCityRepublicans.com is the easiest way. CarsonCityRepublicans.com. So you can take part in these Zoom meetings. You got to know your candidates in the primary. The general is just to see who wins. The primary is to see who you choose to support your values and do the job for you. Not themselves. Not to go along to get along. Who do the job for you. It's time for a Fox News break on The Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Right now, there is only one radio station talking about what's going on in Northern Nevada, live and local, right now, 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today, and so glad for those who are going bye-bye, like this gentleman. JT sent me, actually didn't even send me the email, sent it straight to the boss, sent it to Jerry. Hey, Monica, your LinkedIn says you never went to college, which isn't surprising because it is spelled, I misspelled it with an E. So you're dumb as bricks, mouth-breathing moron. No wonder you have to pause and process so much on your radio show. Your brain doesn't work. Oh, yeah. Sorry, JT. I went to college for a couple of years, but, you know, trying to be indoctrinated into that liberal way of thinking just wasn't for me. So, you know, think what you want. And why you would have an email address of you moron at gmail.com is just really, that was creative. All right, let's get back to real creativity and how we are going to fix what's going on in our communities, and a specific community right now of Incline Village. Joining us on the show, because we're going to have at least two candidates every single day, every single week, we have Sarah Schmitz joining us. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing fabulous. I'm having so much fun. How is it up there in Incline Village?
You know what? I'm sitting outside. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. It's a perfect place to be.
It really is. So, Sarah, you're going to be running for the Incline Village General Improvement District. Are you running against anybody?
No, actually, I'm running to try to maintain the position for which I was appointed to in January. And I'm really hopeful that the community will see the good work that I'm doing on their behalf, and that in November they'll actually elect me to the position that I'm currently fulfilling.
So you've got a lot of issues up in Incline, the cell towers and the rental units, you know, being rented out for the seasons, and parking issues. How do you want to see things change for the future for Incline?
Well, there's a few different things, if I can just sort of back up a little bit. The General Improvement District is primarily responsible for water, sewer, we have trash, and recreation. So things like the short-term rentals, things like the no parking signs, those are challenges that us as a community deal with the county on. The county has been responsive and is in the process of putting in place some no overnight parking signs in various locations in the community, which will help remove, you know, overnight boat storage that's being done on our streets. And our county commissioner has been working pretty diligently to try to at least temporarily discourage short-term rentals up here to try to keep our community, you know, healthy and safe. So we have, you know, we have this need to be very collaborative and work with the county. And we've been doing that. And I've been working pretty closely with our county commissioner on many of these issues.
Okay. And that would be Marcia Birkbigler. Are the signs making a difference? Because last time I gave a speak to the Incline Village Republicans, and that was big that people see the signs and they still park there anyway because the fees for the fine are less than going and finding someplace. So they just kind of say, well, to hell with it.
So, well, our community has had real issues and real challenges with, I think I just lost you.
Oh, no, I'm still here.
Okay. I have you in my earbuds and my earbud batteries are dying. Sorry about that.
That's
the
okay.
Community, especially in the summertime. And, you know, we're going to continue to have those. And with the popularity of the East Shore Trail, there's only 90 parking spots there. So, you know, the community has been inundated with cars. And I think it's going to be something that we as a community are going to have to really make sure our voices are heard, not mm-hmm. only with the county, but also with TRPA and TTD as they plan to expand the next phase of the East Shore Trail. And some of what they're planning to do is make all of 28 from Sand Harbor down to the Spooner Summit, make all of that, you know, no parking on the roads, which, you know, that reduces the availability of parking substantially. So it is a challenge that we're going to have to continue as a community to work with. But as it relates to the role of being a trustee in our village, those particular items, you know, are outside of the control of the Board of Trustees. But as an individual citizen in the community, I've been very engaged with many of those issues and trying to, you know, bring them forward and find solutions.
Yeah, because just being on the improvement district, people want to know that you're involved in the community and you know the issues that they're all facing. They when they feel like they can talk to somebody who has even just a little bit of power and a little bit of a voice, that their concerns are being heard.
Well, I think that so there's a couple of things. I'm also a member of the Washoe County Citizen Advisory Board up here mm-hmm. in Incline Village. They refer to those as the CABs. I'm a member of that. And I also, about a little more than a year ago, about a year and a half ago, I started a nonprofit up in our community. It's called Incline Village Crystal Bay Community First. And I produce newsletters. We have a website. And our focus is trying to educate the community and keep the community informed as it relates to governance type issues. So these things, you know, have been being shared. We share a lot of information about upcoming, you know, important meetings where, you know, maybe the Tahoe area plan is going to be discussed, that sort of thing, so that people are aware. You know, a few years ago, we lost our local newspaper, the Bonanza, and so the community has had a bit of an information void. So the purpose of the mm-hmm. nonprofit was to try to fill that gap. And based on the readership, based on the feedback, I feel like we are doing a good service in that capacity for our community.
So what would you like to see the GID actually tackle in the coming years?
What I'm currently working on is, over the past few years, the relevance of the audit committee has really dwindled. And the audit committee is really, the function of an audit committee is to make sure that the board is doing their proper, you know, oversight of the finances and internal controls. So right now, what I'm actively working on is putting together a real robust definition of what the audit committee responsibilities are, what they're intended to do. So one of the things I'm working on is trying to make sure that we do have that proper oversight and to reinvigorate that audit committee and to really encourage management to implement internal controls and do a good job of clearly communicating the financial situation. So that's something I'm working on right now, and it'll take time.
Yeah, I love hearing that. I think that that should always be the first priority of any organization, whether it be, you know, something for the city, the state, the county, even nonprofits. Because if you don't have oversight, then that's when things start to go astray. What else is on tap for your campaign?
I'm focusing a lot on the financials and then segueing into making sure that, you know, we, with this COVID situation, it's going to have an impact on access to our venues. So as residents here, as parcel owners, we pay a recreation fee. So one of the things I'm going to be evaluating is whether our recreation fee should be reduced because we will have reduced access to our facilities. So that's on my radar, along with making sure that we're moving forward as quickly as we can to address our affluent pipeline. We have 6 miles of affluent pipeline that need either repair or replacement, and we don't want to, you know, sit back on our heels and potentially have, you know, any sort of a break or a leak.
Exactly.
You know, and our environment's really important. So those are things, and just to make sure that when we are budgeting is coming up in May, that we are really evaluating what's important to our community and what's important to our parcel owners, and making sure that we're spending the dollars, you know, where the parcel owners really, you know, see it of value.
Wow, if you want to come to Reno and move down here and help out, you've got the financial end set. Sarah, thank you so much for that. And thinking about others, because that's the other thing with those fees, trying to get them lowered a little bit. You know, people aren't going to have the disposable cash that they've had in the past, you know, once we see this COVID-19 pass. So how can people find out more about you and your campaign? Do you have a website or anything?
I do. I have a website. It's my name, Sarah, just S-A-R-A, the number 4. IVGID.com. So sarahforivgid.com is my website address. I do have information on there about my priorities, what my goals and objectives are, as well as my background, and of course a place to support my campaign efforts.
All right. Sarah Schmitz, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with your campaign to keep your seat. And it sounds like you've got some great ideas for Incline Village, and such a beautiful, beautiful treasure, actually, for all of us here in Northern Nevada, because we get to visit.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm very grateful, and thank you for your show. I enjoy listening to it, and I appreciate your perspective. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Have a wonderful day. All right. We'll be back on The Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk show. If you want to give us a call, 884-9910. But where did this 2 hours go? 10 to noon every weekday. Tell you what's coming up tomorrow. And we might have to go through a few more emails. We'll be back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Let's get in and ride. It's a beautiful day out. What can I say? It's all about just living your life. So Before we get to our phone call, because it is concerning this, let's go to KKFT. Let's go to our website at 991fmtalk.com. Our poll question today is, with what's going on in the world now, do you think there will be a food shortage this year and next? Yes, no, we can always eat Democrats. You realize that's a joke, right? So Bruce sent in a response. If we have to eat Democrats, I suggest we start with the vegans. They're the closest thing to grass-fed, which is pretty damn funny. So I got another question. Monica, what do you really think about a possible food shortage? So I responded to the email and said, well, did you get a chance to listen to Shad Sullivan from earlier? You can hear him on the podcast talking about, he's a cattle rancher. You can hear him talking about what's going on, especially in Texas, where they've got oh so many beautiful steer. And so in that response, he said, yes, I spoke to, now this is local, okay? I spoke to a customer of mine who I deliver to, and they said they are preparing for a food shortage by limiting the amount of products, mainly meat, that you can buy at one time. So I want you to think about this seriously. All right? I mean, when you think about it logically, God bless our truckers and everything they do. The supply chain, getting it from point A to point B is there. But when point B is shut down and cannot process the items from point A, then what happens? Let's check in with Kelly. Kelly wants to talk about beef processing in Reno. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Monica, I'll make it super quick. We need to get a GoFundMeNudo thing where we can process tripe at UNR. They've been processing my rancher's beef from Rough and Ready, California for over a decade. You got the Great Basin Community Food Cooperative right up there at Flinton Court, 775-324-6133. There's a drop dealy there. They support all the farmers, getting you in contact with your food. I've seen those beautiful red Angus cattle down near Carson City. And thank you so much for your show and your awesome candidates. And I eat a steer a year, and that's what keeps my girlish buff figure. And thank you.
A steer a year. I like that. Kelly, thanks for the call. You could put that on a t-shirt. Eat a steer a year. Because, well, yeah. It's just good stuff. I'm sorry. I got to have my steak. Got to have my steak. Got to have my hamburger. It's just good stuff. Think about it. When you think logically of what's going on in this country right now, you have to look at more than just the unemployment numbers. You have to look at more than COVID-19 numbers, which I do not believe, because when you have CDC, Dr. Birx, other officials telling the doctors to list as death of COVID-19, the numbers are skewered. They're skewered. They're skewered and skewered. They're skewed. Those people processing those numbers have to be skewered. The numbers are skewed. Why are they doing it? Because the hospitals get more money if somebody is ventilated and dies of COVID-19. It's all in the coding. It's all in the money. What does it always go back to? Follow the money. There are other things going on right now. But all the media and Democrats want you focused on is COVID-19. They don't want you hearing that 600 cartel members were arrested, not just for drugs, but human trafficking. They kind of go hand in hand. But you will never hear about what Trump and his administration is doing for this country, all you're going to start and continue to hear are the numbers of COVID-19 deaths that don't come anywhere near a pandemic. For every expert you throw at me that says people need to stay home, people need to wear masks out on the street, people need to stop touching their face. Well, here you go. I will give you two experts that say this is a bunch of BS. You are being restricted from living your life. You know that whole life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness thing? It's an agenda, and too many people are falling into line. Fall into our line this Saturday. We're doing it again in Carson City. We don't want hundreds. We want thousands. Thousands. Waving the American flag. It's not about Trump getting reelected. We know Trump is going to be reelected. It's about getting the state of Nevada open, starting with the rurals who have no infections, and then every single day, opening everything up. God bless you. God bless America. I love you. I will check with you tomorrow. We've got more candidate interviews and more truth for you on 92.3 and 99.1.